Welcome to Thriving at the Beach podcast. I'm Peggy Masterson, and I'm delighted to be your host. I am the director of the Partnership Grand Strand Foundation, and in case you haven't heard about us, we are the nonprofit foundation that is an extension of the Myrtle Beach Area Chamber of Commerce. Partnership Grand Strand was created by local businesses to serve local businesses, and we serve everyone across all 14 communities that we often and fondly call the Grand Strand. Our work puts us in a unique situation where we get the opportunity to collaborate and support many of the organizations that are busy building a better tomorrow in our area. This gives us a wonderful opportunity to collect the details surrounding these growth initiatives and then share them with you. That's really why we created this podcast. There's so much amazing work, we just had to find a way to get it out to you. I could not be more excited to be able to facilitate a way for our guests to tell you their stories, to share the initiatives that they're working on, and give you a peek under the tent on what's coming to our community. I hope you'll catch this wave of momentum and then share it with others. So let's dive right in. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our newest episode of Thriving at the Beach, where our primary goal is to get you excited about the future of our Myrtle Beach and surrounding areas. The way we've been doing that is by giving you an opportunity to meet some of the people that are busy working behind the scenes to power that success. I'm Peggy Masterson, and today I have my co-host BJ Beaver here with me, and we are super excited to have Melissa Bilka here today, who is the VP of Member Services for Britton Resorts. Thanks so much for being here today, Melissa.
Thanks.
You know, hospitality is such a huge part of our local economy, and I'm really excited to learn more about not only Britton Resorts, but the whole kind of hospitality landscape in this area. And before we get into that, I would love to, first of all, tell the group a little bit about you. You were kind enough to share some information. So for all of you that are listening, Melissa is originally from the Ohio area, and she's been in hospitality her entire career. She started out as a housekeeper and progressed on to her role today, which is VP of Member Services. She loves to travel, and she has been to all but two states across the U.S., so that's amazing, as well as some international destinations. So I think I'm going to have to live vicariously through you, Melissa, and find out all about all these places that you've delivered. And the other fun thing that I found interesting about Melissa is she's also a fossil hunter. And I would say that you are the first fossil hunter that I have ever met in my lifetime. And as a hobby, she also likes to build Legos. So as we kind of segue into kind of learning about hospitality, I thought maybe it might make sense, Melissa, to tell us a little bit about the Britton Resorts organization.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for not saying what year I started in the business. I really appreciated that. But I've been with Britton Resorts and Hotels for almost 13 years now. So Britton's been in the market, you know, going way back to the early 60s. And we are essentially a management company where we have resorts, Starbucks stores, and Sea Captain's House restaurant, and we've just added a restaurant to the portfolio down in Litchfield called Tide to Table. So if you haven't tried that, check it out. And we've created a partnership with a great group in Florida with Provident Hotels. So we're continuing to expand. We have a lot of great people on our team who are passionate about growing our team, being innovative. We're all a little bit competitive and in a fun and exciting way, but we're really trying to do the best for all involved, our owners, our guests, and our associates.
What I'd love to understand a little more, Melissa, is you mentioned you're a management company. Mm-hmm. Can you explain, I think a lot of people when they hear Britton Resorts, they may think of the traditional model as a hotelier or a restaurateur company. So can you tell us a little bit about what you mean when you say a management company?
Sure. It's a pretty common thing in the hotel business to have a management company who may or may not also own part of each one of the properties. a management company, essentially someone would hire them to come in and manage their property or portfolio of hotels. Now, we happen to have, you'll see that a lot in hotels and resorts. So you may have a property that sells to another owner but maintains the same management group. In our particular situation, we do have both a branded property with a Courtyard and Spring Hill Suites. So it's more of a traditional hotel that people are used to. But in addition to that, all the other properties that we have are, I call them condo properties, which are individuals who have purchased a unit within a condominium location, and we represent them as well. They say, I would like Britain Resorts and Hotels to manage my unit, or I'd like to be part of your rental program. So we essentially took a more complicated model and made that very successful. So we represent them, but people will typically say, oh, it's a hotel, and that's what guests experience. But really, we're representing a whole different level of people. So now we have homeowners that we represent, as well as the guests, your other owners and associates. So
sure. Yeah, no, that's really helpful to understand, because if folks aren't really connected on a regular basis to what's happening behind the scenes in hospitality, they may not know that. I know I didn't. I knew there were management companies, but didn't understand kind of Britain's model. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned when you had given me your information regarding your background that I thought it was really cool that you are a, you know, complete success story from a hospitality perspective, in that you started in housekeeping and you've progressed to the VP level. Can you kind of walk us through that and tell us a little bit about that progression for you?
I think that is one of the most exciting things about the hospitality industry. You can, as I love to call it, we don't really look at where people have been so much as where they want to go. And I think a lot of us have very similar stories. Either basically growing up, I thought I'm either going to be working for the FBI or I want to be a teacher. Okay, those are two completely different things. But, you know, kids, we don't really know what we want until we get to a certain point. But those were my two main interests. And then my father had passed away when I was 15. So that completely changed everything in my world. And it became, well, you know, a little more survival. I better go out and get a job. So I worked a couple of jobs before hospitality, but there was a new property, Marriott property, opening near where I lived. So I went over there and obtained my job as a housekeeper. And essentially, and I still say today, I'm not smarter than anybody else. There's not anything particularly special, I think. It's really about, I think, work, being a learner and learning as much as you can and having an understanding of taking care of other people around you. And I just progressed through different positions at the property, then into management. My first management position was in outside of Pittsburgh, go Steelers. And, you know, of course, I learned a lot there, but essentially moved around quite a bit in operations. Ended up in Atlanta being part of Marriott's training team with the general managers that had to come down and certify as a general manager of their property to be able to do that. So, you know, from there, I just, again, progressed into other companies, kind of took a couple steps that people would consider, well, you know, why did you go backwards? Well, that's where the learning is, right? If you want to do different things and learn, sometimes you do that in your career. And can you tell, I'm like, I'm not really good at talking about myself, but essentially that was the progression. And I think the key thing there is it's always the individual, but it's also, I had great mentors along the way, right? They would recognize my contributions when I was at my best. They would also hold me accountable when I wasn't at my best. And you can imagine being younger and getting into it. Well, really, I say along the way. I tell my team, I'm like, I've made more mistakes probably than all of you put together over time, but they were all learning opportunities. So it's really a good combination. I've been blessed. And again, a lot of people will start in the business. They're like, it was a job I had in college that I worked night audit. because I needed to have a job, and, you know, that was good for me, and they ended up staying. So because a lot of those stories, or I say we grew up in the hotel business, that we're all passionate about giving back and providing those opportunities to others. Like, that is the most fun thing that we do, is to be, when people come in and say, hey, can I ask you a question or get your advice? Or like, please come in. You know, we absolutely love it. And watching people grow, and have had many in the company that changed properties or went into different roles and continued to grow.
I love that story, and I love what she said, especially about the fact that the opportunities are right there in hospitality. In, you know, we're obviously focusing our conversation today, as we allow BJ to kind of take things over, on the kind of whole topic of workforce and talent development and those type of things. And I think that, you know, your story is a great example of a story that could be, or that exists for anyone. And hospitality is a great example of that, and the notion that you can try something and maybe fail, but you learn from it, I think is such a healthy environment. And sometimes I think people forget that it's okay to make mistakes as long as you learn from
exactly. them. Exactly. We're all human, right? It's what we do with it at the end of it all that makes a difference.
So as the VP of team member services, can you tell us a little bit about what your kind of core responsibilities are?
Well, when I joined the team, I was really the first director of HR on the resort side. We used to also have golf courses, so that's a whole long story and we're a little complicated, but essentially there was a team that was taking care of certain parts of what HR typically does. And it was a lot of the paperwork, I call it. I'm like, well, how about if we keep that where it is and allow this as the opportunity to help develop people within the company, provide training. Back then we were creating what, you know, standard operating procedures would look like in that department. Working with everyone, we've added a lot of programs along the way, added a leadership conference. So there's quite a bit along the way, but the way I like to really wrap it up, because when I switched over to the VP role that I have today, I said I would love to, instead of calling it HR, I'd love to call it team member services, because my focus from the very beginning, and I've had experience in operations and training HR-related roles, was the properties, the managers, and the associates at all our business locations are my customer. So I'm here to support them. And typically when, again, people think of HR, they're like, oh, HR is here, you know. And I'm like, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to be that. Supporting everybody in what they do, knowing all of the different things that they have to accomplish every single day. So it's really along those lines of recruiting, training, developing, coaching, versus all the typical things people would think of when you mention HR.
I think that represents a kind of industry shift that we're seeing, as folks really kind of get a deeper understanding of what employees want and need today. And you're right, that traditional model of HR, some of it still has to happen, but all of the research that we've done and so forth is really, you know, people want to work for companies where they feel valued, where they feel seen, where they feel coached and mentored. And having had the background that you've had, you've been in their shoes, right? You've held some of those roles, and to be able to pull from that experience has got to make you a better coach and a better leader for that team services organization. So Britton's obviously very lucky to have you at the helm. So what I'd love to do is kind of segue a little bit and let BJ and you talk a little about some of the things that you've been working on as it relates to workforce. Thank you.
Cool. Well, Melissa, I'm super excited to have the opportunity to talk to you, and let's shed some light on some of the great things that's happening in Britton Resorts and with your organization. You know, when I go out in the community, all the hiring events and all the things, I always see a representative from Britton Resorts, which, you know, not everyone maybe has that bandwidth to do that, but it really shows that you guys care about the talent and having quality talent in the community. So just to kind of start off our conversation, would you mind sharing with me kind of what your philosophy is for finding good talent in our community? What's your strategy, or how do you guys go about coming up with the plan?
Well, we've switched our strategy a bit. It's been an evolution for the past few years. At one point, really, the properties were responsible for those typical things that you go through in a hiring process. They placed their own ads out there. They went through all the resumes that or applications that came in, set up their own interviews, and took that process. But years ago, when we started to see this shift in what was happening in the market, and unfortunately experiencing a lot of no-shows to interviews, what we found was they were doing a lot of that work over and over again, which pulled them away from what we really wanted them to do, which was spend time with their teams and manage their departments. So I was asked to look at that and see if we would be willing to take on what I call the administrative part of that process, which was place the ads, review the applications, and then set them up for interviews. So we did that. And last year, we were speaking to another group that are based in Alabama, and they tried something different during COVID, where they took on more of that role of hiring individuals on directly through the department. So we had that conversation and took a look at essentially how do we shorten, because as you know, there seems to be really a disconnect from workers saying, you know, I've applied multiple times, don't hear anything back from employers, I can't get a job, what's happening? And we're on the other side going, we can't get talented people in, we're not, you know, people are not showing up for interviews. So what is really going on here? And so our attempt was to take maybe that process and look at what we were doing in order to shorten that time frame. So it's still, you know, work in progress, but we set up a completely different system, got a applicant tracking system officially in place, and divided the responsibilities of who's doing what on my team. But essentially, for most of the roles that we have, my team will hire for the properties as part of the process. So now they are pulling that all the way through. The flip side of that is for the properties to have that opportunity to even better connect with their associates from day one and ensure that everybody's going through all those wonderful things that they should during that onboarding process of orientation and training and just really connecting with people to understand them as individuals.
That's awesome. I really find that interesting because when I think of you said something that's really important, that disconnect or that gap maybe in our community where we have job seekers looking for employment. Obviously, we have employers looking to hire, but maybe the turnaround time, for lack of better words, is really where that gap is. And it's interesting because, you know, I think if you think about a salesperson and you think about, you know, I want to close that deal as quickly as I can. I have a new lead and I'm ready to close that deal. That's almost kind of similar to what you're saying with hiring. You know, someone's coming in to interview, that's your new lead, and you guys are trying to figure out how can you close that lead? How can you secure that employee and get them working at one of your properties? That's really a really great concept for our community for sure.
Well, and I also think it's shifting. There's a big shift and everybody's really seen this, but the other part is, you know, in hospitality, you don't need necessarily the experience in a particular area to get started. You also don't need a degree to get started, or even just depending on where somebody wants to go. So a lot of times people will think, you know, hospitality is about a position at a restaurant or at a property. But really the opportunity is, do you know how far up you can go? I mean, you could be a general manager of a hotel, a resort, a large resort, locally, internationally. I mean, there's just a wide open a variety of paths that somebody could take. In addition to that, they could go into corporate positions, which a lot of people forget about, sales, marketing, revenue, accounting, HR, IT. I did hotel openings at one point, quality assurance. There's just a lot of supporting departments within that organization as well. So just to back up, I tell you all that because I'm like, you don't really need those things to get started. So my advice to people looking is get in. We're always looking for great people. You really have to like people to be in the hospitality industry. You have to understand we're 365, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But at the same time, finding that company like us, it's like we'll do anything that we possibly can to work with somebody's schedule the best that we can. Believe in people, finding a balance, all of those things. But also the, you know, as you progress, we have training opportunities that we have. We'd have tuition reimbursement that we offer as well as scholarship programs. So, you know, a lot of those, especially someone like myself that was graduating high school and started in the business. And I was like, okay, what do I do? If there are students out there in that same position, try it out and find an employer who will help you with the education as opposed to thinking you have to come out. And if that's what your interest is in hospitality, find those employers that can support you that way so you can continue but not come out having this big expense when you may not have the ability to do that. So it's just all the support that you can find in hospitality as well as the opportunities.
Absolutely. It just listening to your response, it really in my mind it goes to like a company's culture. You know, you talked about flexibility, tuition reimbursement, all the things that allow you to grow and flourish within a company. So, you know, what in your mind, what type of culture or what strategies are you guys kind of focusing on to build a positive culture within your organization?
Well, it's just really going back to take a look at who, you know, that culture piece is important for anybody. We're blessed that we've had a wonderful culture over the years. We've had great owners that kind of said, this is the way that we do things and take care of associates. So it's really A, you know, carrying on that tradition of what they've done in many ways, you know, just what are the different ways that we can help associates, but also, you know, looking at different things that we can do. So as an example, we have, of course, we do our opinion surveys on an annual basis. We have done a leadership conference every year with all our managers that we continue to do, and that's a huge opportunity for people to see. It's not just me at my property or my business location, but I am part of something bigger. And then as part of our recruiting process, we've added in some check-in points where we go and talk to associates at certain points after they've started to check in and make sure that, again, they're receiving the things that we would expect them to do.
That's phenomenal. And, you know, reading the news and kind of looking around what's going on in workforce development, I came across something recently that you guys were recognized by South Carolina Department of Workforce and our governor on your workforce related efforts. Would you mind just sharing a little bit about that experience and about, you know, some of the topics that you talked about when you were presenting to the group?
Yeah. So, you know, that workforce champion recognition essentially was about really what our entire team is doing. So between my team and some of the managers at the properties doing 28 plus different activities in the area, from job events, of course, to mock interviews, all these different things. So that was a big part of it. And until you stop and count it up, you don't really realize everything that you've done and the places that you've been. But I give all the credit to the team on what they were able to accomplish. The other part was just really what do we do, you know, asking a lot of questions about what can we do, what else can we do for our team, others. I had that opportunity to speak, which was wonderful. They just really wanted to understand hospitality as well as kind of the same things we're talking about today. What are the opportunities? What are the challenges that you're facing? And then, you know, what do you recommend or what should we look at in order to help support employers as they go forward and continue developing all the things that, and programs that they're doing in South Carolina? So you see this really neat thing that's happening where everybody's has this focus. So it was a great experience. It was surprise. It was like, oh wow, thank you. It's all really what the team's doing. But literally anything and everything that we can do to connect with people who are really looking to be employed, and find their way is the bottom line. I mean, that was a goal. And so,
I was speaking with another company a couple of days ago, and they said, BJ, we're in the business of hiring people. That's what we do. And when I think about this conceptually, I think you guys kind of embody that. You're in the business of hiring people, developing people, and retaining people. So congratulations on that recognition. That's fantastic. So if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about an initiative that your organization kind of sees coming up on the horizon.
Well, I mentioned the recruiting piece. That's going to continue on, and we'll continue to look at what we need to do there to improve what we're doing, but then just also continuing to look at classes that we offer, so additional education opportunities, whether it's online, in person. We just had a personal accountability class with some managers, so whatever we can do there to help people expand and handle essentially what they have to go through on a daily basis, which was a lot about that class. So it's just really expanding the training and development opportunities that we have along with the recruiting.
Okay, awesome. Is there any specific areas in training that you guys are really focusing on, keying on to support the organization?
I think anything that's related to soft skills, as we call them, as you and I have had the discussion before, but it's really about helping people understand what their team may be going through, what they may be going through, and tying it back to Maslow's hierarchy of motivation. So it's like, do you really want me to talk about this? Because you know this will be a 4-hour conversation.
We can talk about soft skills all day, right?
Right. But just, you know, looking at the different things that people are seeking or need just as human beings, and then how do we as managers try to help in every way we can. So it's really more about that, like just helping people understand how they work through with their team, how they get the most out of their team. We really want to retain people, so understanding at every point what individuals are looking for, what challenges they may be having. So it's really more about that, and then looking at those that are in a supervisory position the same, and then looking for those that want to move up or develop, and then connecting them with other individuals, mentors, making sure that everyone knows that they're interested. That happens quite a bit. We'll have somebody, right now we have somebody at one property who's interested in a position at the corporate office, so making sure that the two connect, or the team at the corporate office knows that person is out there. It's a lot of those type of things, just getting everybody to get together more frequently and helping them again in any way we can.
That's fantastic. So my last question for you is, you know, Myrtle Beach is growing and we see new residents all the time. So, you know, how do you feel about the growth of the area and the future of our community?
I think overall the future of the community is super exciting, whether that is in the development of the area, whether that is partnership, Grand Strand, and what you're doing. You all have done a wonderful job connecting employers with a lot of different resources, and doing the showcase with Horry County Schools. I recommend all employers do that particular event. It's very helpful. So I think we have a lot of people, which we always have had, a lot of people who love this community and give back, but now you're seeing that expand. Of course, you see expansion within businesses here. So I think overall the future is really bright for Myrtle Beach. Where I think we have to get more support is just really everybody understanding, you know, what people need for workforce development. The wonderful thing when you have a community, which we see this across the U.S., right? There are more jobs out there than there are individuals to fill those jobs. While we do have opportunities to, you know, better employ individuals in some level, there's still more jobs available. So the other part is that for everybody to understand and agree that there's a piece where we have to go outside and look at foreign labor in order to come in who want to do those jobs. So our workforce is moving on to other opportunities. And I say our in general, our, right. not just hospitality, but our workforce is moving on to other opportunities and expanding, which leaves a gap that the nobody really wants to fill that gap anymore. And I always talk about housekeeping. I'm like, housekeeping is a very physically demanding job. And while I started in it, I am not there today.
And there's a reason for that, right?
So one, always take care of those that are the in those really difficult positions. But, you know, it's great. You know, they're expanding their skills and getting out of that, but there's nobody to fill that gap. So really somebody's only option is to do these programs, and they're very complicated. And again, that's a whole nother episode, day, whatever you want to call it. But there is that piece, and, you know, we just, government has to get a little bit better about putting that together and helping employers get through that and help people find that right way to get, find their pathway to be a U.S. citizen and stay. Or go back and forth. I mean, that works out great too. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think to surmise that, you know, you have to be flexible as an employer and look at all different talent mm-hmm. sources to be able to support your business needs. So, you know, I think that is a great call out of just having that flexibility and, you know, finding that workforce that is willing to work in that space and fill those positions. So mm-hmm. I appreciate that answer.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I'm going to just jump in here because as I was listening to you speak, Melissa, one of the things that you had mentioned early that I want to make sure we circle back around and chat about is Britain's commitment to this community. I don't want that to go undiscussed or overlooked as it relates to this podcast, because first of all, I want to formally say thank you to Britain Resorts for being our premier sponsor of Partnership Grand Strand. Your leadership was part of the brain trust, if you will, that actually created Partnership Grand Strand to serve this community. And I know at every corner, and BJ mentioned it, you know, you're at so many of the events that we do, you're involved not just from an HR perspective, but as a company in this community. I wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit about your commitment to the Grand Strand and some of the things that are important to Britain Resorts in terms of not just running a business here, but actually being part of the fabric of this community.
Again, that's kind of going back to the foundation of the company. They've always believed in trying to do the right thing and support the community. It's just part of our DNA or fabric, but we have so many wonderful people who want to give back that it's just a little bit easier in a way because that true passion is there. Like we don't have to push people out to do that, right? And there's a variety of different things that people do, from, you know, serving at the chamber to the some of the boards that we're on. But what I love to see most of all is when our associates and managers are out doing things in the community. So whether that is a beach cleanup, or we have a food drive, or we have, you know, donations that go to United Way. It just goes on and on.
It just comes naturally.
And again,
what's
hard is we're a company that doesn't really like to say all of that. Sometimes we just like to do it and give back and contribute and help others who really need that. And again, we have great founders that see all of the same things that live in Myrtle Beach, that love Myrtle Beach and love this area and want to see it thrive and continue to do that. So they've left us big shoes to fill and to carry on the all the wonderful core values that they've given us, the legacy of continuing to support the community and to be the best that we can. I mean, that's what we're all trying to live up to every day.
Well, and Britain doesn't just talk about it, as you put it. You just do it. And I haven't been in this area that long, but I have come to know so many different points of intersection where your organization has actually been contributing to the prosperity and the future growth of this area. So on behalf of PGS, we definitely want to send a thank you to you for all you do. And we thank you again for being with us today and taking the time to talk a little bit about your role and Britton Resorts.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And all the work that you're doing.
Well, we couldn't do it without you for sure. So.
Thank you. Well, that wraps up our show for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the info that we've shared today. And if so, please be sure to follow the show so you don't miss any of our future updates. We also welcome any comments, shares, or reviews. But until next time, we hope you stay well and keep thriving.